All right, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. And I'm here with Lyra. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
I can.
All right. Well, I just want you to introduce you to my co-host here. Is we call her the mystery guest.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
And then I have another co-host on the phone, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Chris.
So, Lyra, I just want to jump right into it a little bit. You know, if anybody was to look at your website, it uses terms like that you were called to do certain work and energy work and whatnot. How would you describe what it is that you do? Well, let me rephrase that. When you work with the theme of this show is balance. And one of the things you talk about, is the significance. And I preface the show to say this, the significance of, some of the equinoxes and the solstices and what they have to do with balance. And it's the balance of energy. And that's what you seem to be very connected to. And you even made a statement that I wanted to understand. You said that these specific time alignments are connected with grids that assist in conscious evolution. So
right.
for me, I want to understand that as fully as possible.
Yes. Well, working with my work is become a more from a shamanic place, but that came from within. I didn't go out and seek and learn how to with a teacher. All of my teachers were non-physical, so I began to be called to do work with the earth and the sky. So I pursued working with the not only equinoxes and solstices, but the four inner holidays. So you have like the new moon and then Candlemas, the equinox, spring equinox, the summer solstice, in between that, Beltane, summer solstice, Lammas, fall equinox, Halloween or Hallowmas, and then back to the winter solstice. So when the patriarchy came in, there was they still kept with the solstices and the equinoxes, which are very powerful, but the in-between holidays or the inner and the feminine ones that were useful for integration. But these, whether you're working with the a specific, say, the fall or where you align with the grids. These work with grids on the planet and above. So I feel in order to, we're talking about balance and evolving, real ways to take it yourself to a wider band is working with the personal, the planetary, and the galactic. So,
well,
within your realm, it's taking your, it's putting yourself on a wider bandwidth. So it's really like the difference in a AM radio station and an FM, and then more of a satellite one that would take you with frequencies that are introducing you to whole different mirrors and reflections of yourself. Now, there are actual grids on the planet that work with sacred geometries and very specific attunements. Furthermore, when those such as myself that have been called, we're like on the ground working. But on these, particularly the solstices, the equinoxes, also the lunar phases of the moon, that's when many people are doing ceremony or have very specific focuses. At those times, those the unseen, if you will, the non-physical and other frequencies assisting and working the galactic consciousness and helping the evolution of humanity and the earth and all the kingdoms of the earth.
Well, let me ask you, yeah. Because that's kind of quite a lot that you said there. And you spoke of certain things like sacred geography and
geometry.
And that suggests a power to numbers that most people don't or may not be aware of or don't believe in or think is gobbledygook or something. Can you talk about the importance of alignment? I mean, it occurs to me that if, as an individual life form, you have to find some sort of alignment or balance in your life, the same has to be true of other states of being and other energies in the universe. So can you speak a little on that? And how is it that, you know, when you say you go and you work with a mountain, what are you actually doing?
Actually, I learned to go and receive the mountain. So if I was, like, I was sent to work with Mount Rainier, and then I was guided and told that was the gateway for the whole Pacific Shield. So that's that whole grid line with the earthquake potential and all that. So instead of going to the mountain and going, oh, please don't, you know, blow, or earthquake or any of that, it was going to receive the mountain. And I was totally in a and I'm all really always am in a don't know mind, and just go as open and really very innocent, because I didn't know what was going on or what was going to happen. And so I go and I set intention and work with alignments, and clearly, I have done this before, so something clicks in, something intuitive, something that knows, and I just begin to receive. Well, I receive voices and images and different requests. So with that mountain, I was asked to go and do very specific ceremonies in different areas of the mountain, and eventually the mountain sent me all the way up to Vancouver, all the way down to Baja, and I thought I was going to go work with that mountain for a month, but ended up 3 years before the mountain was willing to receive the frequency.
Well, now let me ask you, when you go to the mountain, do you then just set up a living space for you? If you think you're going for a month, do you camp out, or do you find someplace to stay within proximity, or what?
Yeah, well, that was, I started camping out, but it was freezing, so I managed to find a place. A lot of times it was camping, and most of that work was done before 2012. There was a lot of grid alignment work, so if you see certain points around the planet, like acupressure points that have been like clogged or vortexes, or so first I was working with vortexes, but you could then they begin to work with grid alignments and or the mountains themselves with very specific needs and functions.
So you can sense a vortex.
Yes, or I'll be told, or I'll be guided, and will feel where to go and line up with the energy. So at first, sometimes when the energy is like, when I was first doing the work and was sent to the Oracle of Delphi in Greece, and the energy starts coming through, it'd just be a lot of convulsions. It was like thousands of volts of energy was coming through my body. But that was how the energy was like clearing in that area, because just ancient of times where these power places, they're like power places on the planet, and they often have a lot of granite there and underwater streams. And for eons, people go to these specific places where they have visions and prophecies and the like.
And is that because?
Yeah, because of wars and beliefs and everything, some of these areas were just not open and flowing anymore. So I was sent, and other people had other different functions that Spirit requested, and you really just go and do the best you can. But this was pretty much to align what's called the crystalline grid, or the Christ consciousness grid, or the 144 grid all around the planet, so the planet would be attuned, would be aligned. Human beings actually with their thought forms affect that grid and that consciousness. That's the interrelationship very specifically with the planet and humans.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you know, I saw a documentary once called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it had a demonstration in there where they took a body of water and they analyzed what the crystals looked like, where literally they had, they talked to the water and said loving things to it, and then they did the reverse. They were aggressive to the, and the water, the crystals in the water in the chamber actually had changed, and not because of sound vibrations, but the actual structure had changed. And what they were suggesting is that what we think, what we dwell upon, you know, and there are many other philosophies that embrace this, but it actually changes literally our being. Do you agree with this?
Absolutely. And there's a demonstration where at least humans can understand and see that. So if you like tone om into a water, you're going to get a very beautiful pattern.
Yes.
Love.
Yes, that's exactly what they did in the documentary.
Yeah, exactly. So there you've got a picture, a mirror of sacred geometry right there. Because you'll have a pattern that is harmonic, and it'll look like a snowflake, or you know, a geometric pattern. If you have anger and a negativity, it's going to be like very erratic and not in a harmonic order. So you can see how consciousness and geometry right there actually interface.
Right. No, I do. And then let me ask you this: on the last, you said the galactic or the cosmic or the mountain, you know, on the very large scale is one thing, but on an individual scale, now you as a result of what you say flows through you and what you're attuned to, you're able to help other people, and you meet in groups and sometimes you meet individually. What happens in a group setting? What occurs there when people come to you and they sit with you? Now, and I say this to say that we here on the show, you know, we've had, you know, entities and channels and whatnot here on the show. And so we've explored this a bit, but so, for the benefit of our listeners, can you give us a sense of what happens?
Yes. I like to attune with the client or the other person first. Do a meditation. We're aligning the chakras and the energy fields, and then I start going into an altered state, and sometimes I'll start seeing visions where we work with rattles and tones and take the person on a journey, or start just bringing through certain kinds of information. I may feel that there's some energy happening in their body, so I may start doing some energetic work with that, but it's very individual and spontaneous in the moment. It's intended really to be a reflection of the person, be it physical, how they're aligned or misaligned. And then I always bring through an entity, a trans-channel an entity that to speak to them very specifically. So I work with a variety of frequencies that in the moment can be, I just ask for the most enlightened consciousness to be of service to the person.
Now, what? Now, how? I just have to wonder now, in these sessions and what happens, and in terms of people coming into better alignment, what? A, how do they find you? And then B, what do you get out of these experiences? You know, these people, I'm assuming, go off and are able to deal with things different in life. What do you get out of what you do?
Being of service is a beautiful thing, and I feel you can relate to that.
I can definitely relate to that.
It's giving from a place of wanting to give, not, and in this kind of work, when you're working this way, the more that you're neutral and out of the way, the energy just comes full circle, so you get healed too, or you get, you know, an energy or a flow. And sometimes when they're very, when the client's very resistant, it's difficult. You know, I will feel that as well.
Now that brings up the other thing I wanted to ask, and that is of course from skepticism. You know, when you say people are difficult, what kind of people come to you and are open to all the stuff that you're saying that's got to sound to the average person like, what on earth is she talking about? What kind of people come to you? And then if they have come to you, what would make them resist whatever it is that you're trying to do?
Well, it isn't what I'm trying to do, because that's the thing. And it doesn't matter how advanced at any point, in any given point, and you know this in your own life, you're just like in resistance with yourself. Some sort of anger or frustration has come up, or perhaps the entity or the guide, it may help someone to really open up and completely surrender and relax and like, wow, and be a part of themselves that they've never really been able to tap into and start to deepen into and journey. And that's really beautiful. And then other times there can be, a resistance of your power or taking responsibility. It's basically what I'm seeing and what we're moving towards is that we've just been centuries, thousands of years of disempowerment and giving our power to churches and structures and governments and beliefs and parents and any and everything. And we're in this process of reclaiming all that and being in our authentic self, and that's a very challenging thing to do. I mean, to really claim and evolve yourself to, because that's what we as a species actually have, that ability to awaken ourselves. And with this kind of work, I mean, sometimes you're planting seeds and sometimes you get the benefit of delivering the baby. But it's really not about me and where I am, because I'm there to be a mirror, a reflection for them, and assist them if they choose to move to a healthier state. Alignment is really about tuning in, aligning up with an authentic or higher self or more truthful state of being.
I'm taking in everything you're saying. I'm wondering, in terms of the people that do find you, are they generally people who are, you know, on a path already, or do they just kind of stumble upon you, or are they people who have maybe rejected other belief systems but can still have a sense of things that what you're doing, just it just makes sense, even though it may not sound traditional.
Yes, truthfully, all the above.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's kind of surprising to me too, and I don't put any sort of restrictions. There's not a sort of group or type of people. It can be rather surprising.
And now,
people who are just like, I think at some point they're just ready to take their life to another level.
All right. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. And I'm also curious about you prior to, you know, the early 90s, you said when you were called. And I don't know how you look back at that time then. Do you feel it was you just matured to a certain point where you were open or something, you had gone through something? But what were you like when you were young? Did you always have the ability or signs looking back now, were you already doing some of this kind of work?
I did, and later in my 40s. But I had a difficult path, like sometimes we do. I came from a family of alcoholism and ended up in going through a terrible addiction with drug and alcohol, and really that was, and die, it was my first death, and that was my first shamanic death, and there were more after that, and I was just defeated and completely surrendered and spent like, well, the first 2 years of sobriety I could hardly even look at the sunlight, and spent a lot of time out of body and having visions, and just what it took for me to like come back together. I finally began disciplining myself to line myself up as a channel. Instead of, I mean, I've been diagnosed with all sorts of things. I didn't know myself what I was, and it was really a path to integrate and to come into any kind of wholeness. And at one point I was meditating, and just deep inside myself, I got, "You are a shaman." And I didn't even know what that was. And I began to explore it and learn to trans-channel. And then in 95, after a few years of just creating work, I was just totally like a child creating. It was really beautiful. And then I started being called to the earth work, which was the first one was Bermuda Triangle. So I sometimes took groups, sometimes I went alone. And
you take groups to the Bermuda Triangle?
I did. Mm-hmm. That was intense. That was the first one. And the boat got lost, and we were out there.
I hear you. Well, if it didn't get lost, then it'd be like, you were in the Bermuda Triangle, you know. So you have to get lost, and you know, it's part of the package, isn't it? Part of the package.
There'd be no fun without that.
Exactly. So, wow. All right. Well, Chris, did you have any? Are you taking all this in?
Kind of asked one of the questions.
Okay.
I just asked that one,
all
and
right.
I'm thinking. So the Bermuda Triangle, that was an interesting experience. Has there been any other ones that stood out more than others? Someone that you came across, or just is there any other events that came that have come to you that like to share with us that was like really incredible?
Significant.
There were so many, because it was really quite a journey. Like I say, it was kind of packed in. I began in 95, but to get to all these different sites by 2012, I don't know, it was like quite a lot. Egypt was very intense. It was a procession there, and I just went with one person, starting with Heliopolis and then to this area, Kim, and it was in Egypt where nobody knew or what, they didn't know what we were doing there, and it was creating such a stir that a whole group of children were running around after us because they hadn't even seen American trees. I couldn't speak Arabic, so I was trying to find the. I just kept playing an old house, and the only guidance I'd been given was that it's near an open market, and I was just ready to give up and go back. And I went, well, just let me walk around for a moment. And I walked around and saw an open market, and I knew that this grid place, again, we're talking grids, I could feel it with. It was next to this mosque, so I was able to bring the energy in, but I would just be really so, like, stoned. And the driver that couldn't speak a word of English either, he like, taking care of me and puts me in the car and takes me to his family and to his friends. And they have all the animals are in the top of their roofs, and we're taking their pictures, and they're giving us cokes, and it was just this kind of exchange of energy where there are no barriers, there was no race, there was no even language. It was just a heart-to-heart kind of energy, and they were just supporting something that they didn't have a clue.
Well,
I see one more thing, Mark.
Sure.
I see that you're going to be doing an event in Genevis, New York.
Yes.
Is that near you,
Mike,
Chris?
It's really bizarre. That's like probably half an hour from me.
Wow.
And you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. And what's really wild is that's where like my one of my ex-girlfriends lives.
No.
Yeah, she lives in Genevis, New York. I know Genevis pretty well.
Genevis, it doesn't even sound like a real name.
It is a real place. I was just looking at the site. I was going, wow, she's going to be in Genevis this weekend. That's really intense. Have you been there before, or is it just...
Well, I go to, Cherry Valley, but my friends live on this farm, and I didn't know. I have... my friend, why'd he put Genevis, who said, well, that's the address you gave me. And I was like, oh, I guess that's the name of the county of the farm that they're,
No, Genevis is the name of the town, actually. It's the town.
Yeah, or the town.
Yeah, the name of their Nectar Hills Farm is the name of their place, I guess, from what I see, but that's the...
Right.
A little small town. It's just kind of... It's interesting because it's got like mountains. It's got like an interesting energy to it. Area there, and Cherry Valley does too, as well.
Yes. I worked up in Cherry Valley for quite a few years, and then I did not go back for several years, and I went back last year, and I decided to go back.
As a side note here, Mike. Is there's a cemetery in Cherry Valley that actually has a headstone that says these children were massacred by savages. And that's actually there in that cemetery. So that's how far back the energy, and I think that's a negative energy, but it's just the kind of energy of that area that goes all the way back to Native American and such forth.
Yes. Well, I think it's still, some of the land is still affected by that. I feel like we might be working with some of that. It's interesting you pick that out and bring that up.
Oh, well, I'm
in the air
to that. There's a lot of energy in this general area.
Where do you live?
Where do you live, Chris?
Oh, outside of town, I guess. Do you know where Cooperstown is?
Yeah.
So outside of Cooperstown.
Oh, wow.
Well, there, Chris, I suggest that you go in and see Lyra. Now, Lyra, you're also going to be in New York tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yes.
Or actually today.
Yeah, individual sessions tomorrow and Thursday, and then I'll be doing the group work, very much connecting with Neptune, and Neptune will be going direct on Wednesday the 13th. So see what kind of energies we can drum up here.
Well, I am now. You, what is your website? Now, I put it up on our Facebook page and our Facebook.
LivingShaman.com.
LivingShaman.com. So, Chris, you're looking at the site now. I'm taking it.
Yes, it's great. I mean, there's just a lot of different, you know, upcoming events and about Lyra and what she's done and
now, Lyra, this is
testimonials
your,
and stuff.
Yeah, and testimonials.
It's pretty cool.
Which are interesting, Lyra. This is your first radio interview.
Yes, and thank you for this opportunity to share with you all.
I'm very interested, and you're willing to take a call or two and see if anybody has any specific questions. Are you brave
Certainly.
Enough? You're brave enough to do that, huh? All right. Well, the phone number here is 212-209-2900. We've been speaking with Lyra, who is, does energy work and is what did you say? You're a trans. You do shamanic work, but you're a trans. You use a term for when you have things.
Trans channel.
Trans channel, exactly, and a trans channel. So, and you're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. This is Night Shift, where life is like science fiction. 212-209-2900. Chris?
Yeah.
Would you go? Are you going to go?
Pretty
interesting.
It sounds like a connect, you know. It sounds like a
sounds
vibe.
Like a connect. Sounds like a vibe.
You know, it just sounds like I could feel her a little bit of it coming.
Now, let me ask you. You also do phone sessions. So how does that work when you do a phone session? How does that work?
I mostly just trans channel.
Ah, okay.
Just bring in the guide.
That makes sense. All right, we're getting a call here. A couple calls. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Who's this?
Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for the show.
Okay. Are you enjoying the show?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Did you have a question for Lyra?
Yes. I wanted to know if she could do a quick reading for me.
Really?
Yep.
Lyra, how do you feel about that?
Well, I don't think that's really appropriate. I mean...
I didn't know,
but you're intrigued. If you had a specific question, she might be able to help.
Question, I could tune in, but
okay, what if someone is having certain blockages in their own life as far as moving forward, and what could be the cause of that and a remedy?
What was the question?
If a person is having blockages in their own life, on personal
blocks,
life, blocks, yeah, blockages, as far as moving forward, what would be the cause of that and the remedy?
Well, that's a very general and question, and I don't know if you're speaking about yourself or. Someone else.
Yeah, it
feels like you're concerned about someone else.
No, it would be for me.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, blockages are usually about a belief that you can't move forward or evolve upwards. So you want to look at what that belief is.
Okay.
What is holding you? And one way to start to shift energy is really to find something that excites you.
Mm-hmm.
Really do it in the moment, just anything that excites you, where you, and to start moving energy that way. Also, just deep breathing.